Bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 64, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, I lift my soul to Thee, O my God, I trust thy might. Let not foes exult o'er me. Shame me not before their sight. Yea, may none be put to shame, none who wait for thee to bless, but dishonored be their name, who without a cause transgress. 64 stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the first book of Moses, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow, and thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of the heavens and of the earth, wilt thou give us thee a place, the attitude of holy reverence, as we attempt to speak, to draw nigh unto thee who art the great, the holy, and the just, the majestic, the living God, who art sovereign over all of this world, who doest according to thine own will, and that there is no man that can say unto thee, what doest thou? But we come in this morning in a way of petition, or we have nothing to demand of thee, because we have forfeited all our rights to the very least of all blessings here below, even to our life itself. But Lord, we attempt to draw nigh to thee, to petition thee, to ask of thee a blessing that we cannot do without. O Lord, it is thy Sabbath day. Oh, once again, we are called to come forth, and we may be brought together in the way of thy providence under the means of grace. Oh, it is the means that thou hast provided, that thou hast prepared, in order that thou may gather a people unto thyself. Lord, those means we may come under, we may attempt to use in this morning hour. And though we have no rights, all we ask of thee, that thou may take reasons out of thyself in this morning hour. All this world does so draw our hearts. All we are busy from early morning till late in the evening, day by day, and Satan himself does seek in so many ways to draw our hearts away from thee. And Lord, all we are together for an hour in this morning, could it please thee to drive away the buyers and the sellers out of thy house, or to give us an hour wherein we may hear, not only with our ears, but that thou may give us an hearing ear within our hearts. Lord, this blessing we must ask of thee, because we can do nothing without thee, and that death state in which we have brought ourselves, as we have read in thy holy word in this morning, when we have disobeyed thy clear and thy easy commandments, and when we have turned ourselves so willfully against thee, and that we have sought after the foolish advice of the prince of darkness. And now, Lord, we are in his power by nature, when we are born into this world. And so it shall remain, if thou lookest not upon us in thy mercy. Oh, thou dost still bring us under thy means. Lord, we beseech thee, may thou use them. Oh, may thou sanctify these means in this morning for the true conversion of this one or of that one, that we may not be permitted to go our whole life long without God in this world, but that thou would stop us in thy good pleasure. Oh, that thou would say to us, so far and no further.
Oh, that thou may turn our hearts to draw nigh unto the living and unto the true God, and that all that we love here below by nature may no longer draw us, but that thou may draw us to thyself. Oh, that we might learn to love thee and all that has to do with thee. Lord, it is our only hope. It is our only expectation, because it is but the foolishness of preaching from the side of men, and we cannot convince anyone. But Lord, when thou wilt come with thy Holy Spirit in this morning, then thou art able send thy word as a sharp two-edged sword in our heart. Oh, that we may be given then as thy servant to draw the bow at a venture, for we know not where to aim it. But Lord, may thou direct it in thy good pleasure to this heart or to that heart in this morning hour. Oh, when we have come come to thy house in our enmity of our deep fall, oh, that thou would grant us a true turning. Remember also thy people. Lord, wilt thou feed them, wilt thou nourish them as they are going upon their journey. Oh, that thou may bring them from strength to strength, that thou would give them in this morning a little eye to look upon thee. Oh, thou art not only their creator, but thou art also their redeemer. Lord, they need to not only be fed with the food and drink for the natural life, but they need that food and drink that thou hast prepared for spiritual life. And thou didst say that thou art that manna which came down from heaven. Lord, may thou feed thy people with that manna in this morning hour. Oh, that it may be good for the meat, for the meek to eat and to be satisfied. Oh, then they may receive a little exercise of that true saving faith, to believe in thee, that they may receive a little comfort in the difficult way in which they must go through waters that they are not able to go through, wherein thy path dost lead them. O Lord, strengthen them, encourage them. O that thou may also give them to flee from all the ways of vanity and sin. And oh, that there may be an example set in the midst of us as a congregation. Lord, may thou look upon thy whole church. Oh, look on them over the length and the breadth of the whole world. May thou increase the number of thy servants that may go forth to labor in thy name, that thy kingdom may come, that many may be brought in. Do look upon all the afflicted and the sick in the congregation, the children, the young people, those that are not able to go to school from day to day. Lord, may thou give health and strength unto each and every one of them, and supply thou for this life also. Be with all widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that mourn and those that live their life alone in this world. Lord, may thou be on their right and on their left hand in this day, and each day as they journey closer to that eternity. Lord, may thou go with them when no man is with them. And may thou be a father to the fatherless and a husband to the widows. Wilt thou look upon our children and our youth? Oh, be with them also this day. O Lord, may it be the day of thy good pleasure, that thou mayst speak yet a word unto their soul, and that they may be drawn in the days of their youth to remember their Creator, that their heart may be taken away from all that is vain, and that they may be given to begin on that journey that goes through that straight gate and that goes along a narrow way. Oh, keep them from all temptation and from sin, and put away the prince of darkness. Lord, wilt thou chain him? Remember the young child who must again go into the hospital in this week for that procedure that he receives time and again. Lord, grant thy blessing, help and strengthen. Wilt thou bless for the body and for the soul? Wilt thou then go before us? Lord, we have entered into a new month. We have entered into a new season. It is a season wherein we do look forward to the commemoration of thy coming in the flesh. Oh, that it may be, that there may be a people in our midst who are also waiting, who are also desiring that thou would come in their own life. Oh, thou hast come for the sake of thy church. Oh, that thou may give a people in this time that say, Lord, wilt thou also come for my sake? Oh, it needs now to be applied, Lord. That is now what we beseech of thee. That is the work of thy own Holy Spirit, to give the application. Oh, give us then wisdom in the preaching, that we may be wise as serpents, that we may be harmless as doves for the little ones. And may thou thyself sanctify thy own word for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 209, stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6. To God for help will I repair. To God will I direct my prayer, and surely he will answer me. His great salvation I shall see. The last collection today is for the school. Psalter 209, stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6. congregation in this morning hour, in this day, then we begin the season which we call Advent. And then for a long time, there was a church of God which has looked forward to the fulfillment of a promise. We can read of those promises in the Word of God, and how that the Lord has, in a clearer and clearer way, as the ages of this world have gone by, given that the church may know more and more concerning the promise of that coming Messiah. What is actually a promise? A promise that is an agreement by a person to do something in the future. Thus, a promise regards not what is present, but what is coming in the future. There are actually different kinds of promises. There are conditional promises and there are unconditional promises. What does that mean? That is not so difficult, boys and girls, also for you to understand. A promise that is conditional is a promise that is based on a certain condition. And thus, we can read in the Word of God how that there was a man who owned a vineyard, and he said to other men, "Go and work in my vineyard." But when he said go, then he also attached a promise to this, that is, that they shall receive a reward. But now to receive that reward, they had to do something. Thus that promise that was based on a certain condition. And so it is with all promises which we call conditional. They are promises that will be fulfilled upon the fulfillment of a certain condition. We read of many examples of this in the Word of God. We read, for example, that the Lord Jesus says, "Ask, and it shall be given thee." He says, "Seek, and ye shall find. Knock," he says, "and it shall be opened unto you." Thus, each time a promise, but based on a certain condition. What does the Lord say to His people? That if they would turn from their wickedness, if they would put away the evil out of His sight, then He would go with them. What does the Lord say? "Call upon me in the day of your trouble, I will answer thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Thus, a promise based on a condition. Call, he says, upon me. Those conditional promises in the Word of God are directed to everyone that is listening, everyone who is hearing. But then there are also what we call unconditional promises in the Word of God. And what are they? They are promises that are based on no conditions. Then the Lord does not say that you have to do anything, but the Lord says only that He is going to do something. An unconditional promise. What did the Lord say to Jacob? He said, "Fear not to go down into Egypt, because there I will make of thee a great nation, And I will surely go down with thee, and I will bring thee up again. That was unconditional. There was nothing laid on that side of Jacob. What does the Lord say? He says, O thou afflicted and tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and thy foundations with sapphires. That is unconditional. Nothing for that people. Who is that directed to? That is directed personally, the first one to Jacob. The second one to those who are afflicted, who are tossed with tempest, who are not comforted. What is, congregation, the purpose of a promise? When a condition is involved, then the promise has the purpose of giving a person a motive that he might fulfill that condition. Jacob was willing to work for Laban for 7 years. Why? There was a motive. There was that he may receive Rachel for his wife. We do that often, parents, in the lives of our own children, and that we are presenting unto them as some motive that they may labor. And when then there is no condition, what is then the purpose of a promise? When there is nothing for the people to fulfill, the Lord gave to Abraham a promise. And the Lord did not say he had to fulfill anything. The Lord promised him a son. The Lord promised him a seed. It was unconditional. Was that necessary? The Lord did not have to say anything to Abraham. The Lord did not have to give him a promise of a son. The Lord could just have waited and in his own time given unto Abraham a son. But what was now the purpose of the Lord? Oh, the Lord, in that time of waiting that would be in the life of Abraham, the Lord would direct his thoughts, the Lord would direct his longings, his desires, the Lord would direct his expectations with such a promise. And so the Lord is not a land of outer darkness to his people, not as they are walking through this world. But the Lord is giving to them by times a promise that he may direct their expectations, that they may receive everything out of his hand. What is, congregation, the value of a promise? Where does a promise get its value from? There is actually no value in a promise itself. Where is the value? That value is in the promiser. The promiser. Because if that promiser is not able to fulfill the promise, if he has no means to do so, then a promise means nothing to us. Or if we know the promiser to be a very unfaithful person, then that promise also means nothing to us. So often in this life, man, he gives promises, but those promises mean nothing. And why not? Because of who man is? Because of his inability? Because of his unfaithfulness? Because of his self-love? His deserting of the promise? What did Peter say? He says, though all men should forsake thee, yet will not I. But he could not fulfill it. We read in Jerusalem, when the Lord Jesus was there, and that there were many that believed on him. But what do we read? That the Lord Jesus did not commit himself to them. And why not? Because it says, he knew man, and he knew what was in man. Thus, the promises of man, they often are valueless. But congregation, what now about those promises which come from the Lord? From the Lord. Or a promise which comes from the Lord is of inestimable value in our life. And why? Because of the promiser. Because of who that the Lord is. Because of his ability to fulfill the promise. He is the Almighty God. And because of his faithfulness. Because when he speaks, then he will surely do that thing which he has spoken. We can read that also in the Word of God, that David is pleading upon the promises of the Lord. He says, remember unto thy servant that word upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Oh, God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? It is the promiser. And what now a comfort is in the heart of the children of men, because of who that promiser is. There is rest for a church that is awaiting the fulfillment of that promise which the Lord has given to them. Here is now the comfort. And that comfort is necessary. Why is that comfort necessary? Because the promise can take so long. Abraham had to wait until he was 100 years old. There were 20 years between the time that Joseph dreamed his dreams and the time that he stood before Pharaoh, and that the Lord would fulfill that which he had spoken. And what years they were. Oh, then he needed to feel something of the surety that the Lord would fulfill it. And now the church, 4,000 years from the time that the Lord gave the first promise concerning that mediator until the time that that promise was fulfilled. That was an Advent people. That was a people that were awaiting, and their hope that was not put to shame. Oh, are there still such Advent people? We wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider that with you by beginnings in this morning hour, in the season that lies before us. And this morning, for a few moments, the first promise that we can find in Genesis 3, verse 15. Genesis 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So far the words of our text. The first promise of deliverance. First, the recipients of this promise. Second, the substance of this promise. And third, the fulfillment of this promise. The first promise of deliverance. First, the recipients. Second, the substance. Third, the fulfillment of this promise. Congregation, as soon as sin entered into the world, then the Lord came as the sovereign ruler, as a sovereign governor, judge, as the creator, as the Lord of all his creatures. Then he called his creature to give an account before him. Adam, where art thou? And then Adam has to appear, and his wife has to appear. And we read also that Satan himself has to appear before God. There, the Lord, he makes a judgment. Oh, how shall that be? When you and I are called by that sovereign Lord of this whole earth to appear before him. There we read he makes a judgment. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Oh, how shall that sentence be coming to us and to our dear children? And then we read the following words, which are the words of our text. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. To whom is that spoken? That is spoken actually unto the serpent himself. It is a judgment. The serpent was the instrument by which sin has come into this world. Man continues to remain guilty. But Satan is that instrument, that tool, and that was used for the downfall of the human race. And the Lord gives a judgment upon that instrument that has a message in it for us, congregation, that has a message in it for us, young people. Are we also an instrument to cause others to sin when we would cause them to drink alcohol, when we would cause them to use drugs, when we would cause them when we would use our own forces, peer pressure, to cause them to do some sin, then we can read here how that we shall be accountable for their downfall, because the Lord here judges the instrument of the downfall of men. But we know that that serpent, he was being used also by the devil himself. And therefore that judgment that is coming not only upon this animal, but that it is coming upon especially the devil himself. We read here, congregation, no interrogation. The Lord does not ask Satan questions. The Lord does not give to Satan an opportunity to speak for himself. He does not receive an opportunity to defend himself. The Lord is only coming with a judgment. The Lord is only coming with a statement. He is only coming with a sentence which he is pronouncing against the devil. How differently that the Lord is dealing with the devil than he is dealing with man. And why? Well, that serpent, he can have no sorrow for sin. He is but an animal, boys and girls, and he will never feel sorry for his sin, neither will he feel guilt for his sin. Thus, there is no use for the serpent. He shall only die. But the devil, is there use for the devil? No, there isn't. There is no use for the devil either. And why not? Because for the devil, there is no opportunity to be saved. And therefore, the Lord does not interrogate Satan. He does not give him an opportunity to defend himself, but the Lord only judges him. And now that judgment that the Lord has pronounced against that devil, that is heard by the ears of our first parents. And it is in that judgment of the devil that our first parents may hear something of their own deliverance. That is now such an unfathomable wonder. And why is that such a wonder? Well, what have our parents done that was different from what the devil has done? Oh, our parents, they were no different from Satan himself. Satan has rebelled against God. And our parents, they have also rebelled against God. So when our parents stood there in that judgment, oh, and then they heard the judgment against Satan, and then they were deserving to hear that same thing against themselves, then they deserved that the Lord would have said, I will crush the head of you, Satan, and I will crush the head of you, Adam, also with all your posterity. And therefore, it is such a wonder because it is upon this arraignment of his creatures that when the Lord is announcing the final judgment of that prince of darkness, that it is in that very announcement itself that the church is hearing about her deliverance. Thus the devil is condemned. And at the same time, Adam, with his wife, he hears something about his own deliverance. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. The devil hears the curse. And man, he hears a blessing, a promise. Or what is the difference then?
between man and the devil. Why is it that the Lord gives the devil a curse and he gives to man a promise? Why is it? It is only because of his own good pleasure. It is only because that is what he desired to do. That is to make a difference here where there is no difference, where there was no difference. They were both the creatures of the Lord.
Or is that ever a wonder to us that the Lord has not done to us as he has done unto Satan?
There was one pillar of cloud, but that pillar had two sides. That had a dark side and it had a light side. Oh, what a wonder for the children of Israel that that cloud that was light unto them when it was dark for the Egyptians, and that was only out of the good pleasure of the Lord, because that people, they were no better than those Egyptians. Thus our first point, that is the recipients of this promise. And who are those recipients? Those recipients are a people who in themselves were condemnable to death. Why? Because death is the wages of sin. They were lying in the midst of death. They had already experienced what it was to die, and that spiritual death. And there is before them an eternal death. Why? Because the justice of God has to be satisfied. Thus, from that time that our parents have sinned, from that moment to the moment that they have heard the promise of the Lord, then our first parents were without hope, without God in this world. There was no way that they could deliver themselves from that judgment. And it was their own fault. They disobeyed the command. And was that command so hard? Oh, his yoke is easy. And his burden is so light. Oh, the woman, as she has said it to the devil, she has said it to him, no, Satan, no, his yoke is not difficult. It is not heavy. We may eat of the trees of the garden, but it is only one that we may not eat from. Oh, such a people. It is to this people, fallen in such a way, that that promise comes. For them it is incomprehensible. And so it remains in the life of that true church of God, because that people cannot find anything in themselves but reason that the Lord should cast them away forever and forever. And that is what is becoming the expectation of that people. Why? Because they cannot see any way that they can escape that just, that righteous judgment of God. But this is now the people to whom the Lord is coming to speak unto them, not his judgments, not his curse, but to speak unto them his promise. And why does the Lord do that? Oh, the Lord does that because he has a purpose. All that purpose lies in himself. That is for his own honor. It is for his own glory.
It is for the magnification of his mercy and of his grace. Therefore, he is choosing those that are not only so miserable, but also those who are so unworthy of his blessings. Why? So that he may receive all the honor and all the glory. Congregation, that is the way of the Lord. And that is the reason that we always have to speak in two words. What are those two words? That is sin and grace. When we leave out sin, then we rob God of his glory. What is it? It is the unworthiness of man that is so much to the glory of that grace of God. What does Paul say? For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, he says, Christ died for us. Oh, take away the unworthiness of man, and you rob God of all his glory. Is that not the fault of modern Christendom? In the denial of the state of man, in the denial of the deep fall? Or is that the way you want to go, young people? Does that sound to you something that you would like to follow? Poor, poor people. Why? They never learned to sing. Or maybe in a choir, yes. But they never learn to sing to the honor of the Lord. Or that true church, they are an unworthy, a miserable people in themselves. And they receive the promise of the Lord. And what is that promise? That is our second thought. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. What kind of promise was that? It was an unconditional promise. There was no conditions attached for our first parents. The Lord says, I will. That means it begins congregation and it ends where? With him. And that was necessary. Why? Because of the inability of man. He is now dead. And if the Lord would require something of man, then it would be impossible. He is dead in sins and in trespasses. Say there are still many conditional promises in the Word of God. That is true. That is true. O congregation, did you ever learn something from those promises? Did that ever draw you when the Lord says, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Or was that what the Lord lays before you, that he shall open it, that you shall receive? Or was that ever a motive that you may ask, that you may seek, that you may knock? And has it ever taught you something? Has it ever taught you something in the experience? Or how unable that you are to ask? Or to ask aright? To ask as the Lord would have you ask, and to seek as the Lord would have you seek? Or did it ever teach you that you have no spiritual life, and that you can ask with your mind, and you can ask for one moment, but the next moment you are forgetting again? Did it ever teach you that you actually have nothing of a desire, a spiritual desire for the Lord in your heart? Oh, Where can all the responsibility of man only bring him? All that can bring him nowhere. Can bring him nowhere. Why not? Because of his spiritual death. Or when we are taught in the experience how dead that we are, then we learn that all the promises in the Bible that have conditions attached to them, they are for me without value. Why? Because I am unable to fulfill those conditions. And therefore, congregation, I can never receive that which was promised. And it is now for that people that there is only one hope. There is only one way out. What is that way? Oh, that the Lord would say it without conditions. That the Lord would say, just from his own sight, that the Lord will say, I will. That it may take place. Oh, that is the only way. Or has it ever become then your hope? Has that ever become your own expectation? Then you have a good hope. Then you have a good hope. Or if you have a hope that you shall now ask and you shall now knock and you shall now seek, and then the Lord will fulfill his part. Oh, then you have a poor hope. But if your expectation in yourself has come to an end, and there is only one expectation, and that is that the Lord may come from his own sight, and if that is now what you go on your knees to plead with the Lord, O congregation, then we say you have a good hope. Oh, then you have a hope that will not be ashamed. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. What does the Lord say? He says, devil, man has chosen you as your friend. He has left me. He has turned his back upon me. But the Lord says, I will put enmity. He says, I am going to break your friendship, devil, between you and man. And I am going to put a perpetual hostility between you and man. Thy seed and her seed. Two seeds that are in the world. Seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Who is that seed of the serpent? That is clear. That is the devil. And that is all those who serve the devil in this world. That may be living in the world. That may also be living in the church. Because the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, religious people, you, he says, are of your father, the devil. Thus the seed of the serpent. But who is now the seed of that woman? In a certain sense, that's the whole human race. In a more special sense, that is the church of God in this world. And in a more special sense yet, it is the true church of God in this world, the seed of the woman. But it is, in a very special way, the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman. I will put enmity, now the Lord says, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. That enmity is spiritual. But that enmity comes out often also in a natural way. Where do we read of that enmity first coming, boys and girls? That was when Cain rose up and he slew his brother Abel, because Cain was of that seed of that serpent. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. What is the Lord promised to do then to his elect? When they are born, where are they? They are still of their father, the devil. Though they even lie under that seal of election. What does the Lord promise to do? He promises to break that relation that they have with that seed of that serpent. Satan has won you over as his subject. But Satan, you're going to have to fight to keep my people as your subjects. And in that fight, Satan, I am going to be victorious. I will put enmity. Satan, congregation, does not want to let you go. But the Lord is going to force Satan to give up his prey. It shall bruise thy head. Who? The seed of the woman, the Messiah, that Savior. He shall bruise thy head. He shall crush it, and he shall take away your power, Satan, to hold my people in your grasp. I will put enmity. Congregation, is that not a great wonder? Otherwise, Adam and Eve, they would have remained forever the subjects of the devil. Otherwise, every man in this world would remain in his life the subjects of that prince of darkness. But now there is hope for the closest friends of the devil. Is that you? The closest friends of the devil. There is hope for them. That's why there was hope for Manasseh. That's why there was hope for Saul of Tarsus. Because the Lord said, I will put enmity where before there was no enmity. Let us sing. Psalter 289, stanzas 4, 5, 11, and 18. 4, 5, 11, and 18 of Psalter 289. The Lord our God is God alone. All lands his judgments know. His promise he remembers still, while generations go. 4, 5, 11, and 18 of Psalter 289. Our last thought, the fulfillment of this promise. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The promise that is actually a promise to break a relation. That is to break the relation that man has made with the devil and to restore again a relation. That is to restore that relation of man unto God. When we consider the restoration of that relation to God, then there are two things that are necessary to take place. First, God needs to be reconciled to his people. Second, that people need to be reconciled unto God. The first was a work that the Father has given unto the Son, that God may be reconciled to His people. The second is a work that God the Father and God the Son have given unto the Holy Spirit, and that the church may be reconciled again unto God. Thus, in that first work, that God may be reconciled unto His people, that seed of that woman would bruise the head of a dead serpent, Satan, by taking away his power over the death of man. But where is that power? Where is that power of death? Young people, boys and girls, that lies in sin. In sin. The wages of sin is death. Thus, the only way that Christ can take away that death is to take away the cause. You ever desire that? And that cause is sin. Thus, He did in His active, in His passive obedience, in His perfect obedience to that law of God, and in suffering the due punishment of the sin of His church. Oh, see how that the enmity of that devil has risen up against it. Herod killing all those children of Bethlehem, the Pharisees putting to death the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, but they don't realize what they are doing. They do not realize that through death, that He would destroy the power of Him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Thus, all those persecutions against Christ, they are nothing but a bruising of the heel of Christ. And as they are trying to bruise, and as they are trying to destroy Him, and they can only, as it were, touch His heel, He is at the same time bruising that head of that serpent, taking away His power over the death of His children. And so the Father, He is reconciled unto His church when he is satisfying for their sin, when He is bringing in a new obedience, a perfect, a sinless obedience before His Father. Thus, God the Father reconciled unto His people. But that is not the end. Because now also that sinner needs to be reconciled unto God. The elect, in the state in which they are born into this world, they are not friends of God. No, but they are friends of Satan. And they are enemies of God. We read in the Word of God that enemies are reconciled unto God. Paul says that we were even, he says, as others. Oh, what does the Lord promise? He says, I will put enmity. And that is now what is experienced in the life of the people. Congregation, let us lay our own heart next to it in this morning hour. Did the Lord ever put enmity in your heart against Satan and against all the works of Satan, against all that is vain, against all that is carnal, and yet promises so much in this world. We don't ask you if you have a speaking conscience. All men, unless we have stepped upon that conscience too many times, everyone in this world has a speaking conscience. But we are asking if there is hatred, if there is enmity in our heart against all the works of Satan in this world. We do not ask you if all the love for the world is gone out of your heart. Do not ask you this. Because that is not a mark of the true church of God, that there is no love in their hearts for this world. What we are asking you is if there is enmity also beside that love. James says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity against God? Therefore, whosoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That friend of the world that is lying in the heart of every one of us. That friend of the world that is lying in the heart also of the true people of the Lord. The friend of the world is still in that old man that is in the heart of God's servant Paul. But in the new birth, there is a new heart given. You ask for that, boys and girls? A new heart. But always remember that that new heart that exists alongside of an old heart. And in that new heart, there is enmity. There is enmity against the devil. There is hatred against all of the devil's works. That new heart, that new man sees that he has been deceived already so long in his life, perhaps, by that seed of that serpent. Oh, that new heart that is grieving on account of the love of that old heart for the world. He is grieving on account of that friend of the world. And that old man that is still living within him. That new heart feels how that the devil is persecuting him. That he is coming with his temptations in this world, which are temptations to him because that old heart is still remaining in his flesh.
And what is that new man doing? That new man, he is crying to God, Lord, increase the enmity in that new heart. Oh, increase it that it may overcome all the friendship of the world that is lying in that old man. Oh, young people, ask the people of the Lord. Many today are speaking about a Christianity. They say peace, peace, but there is no peace. Supposedly they are at peace with God. They can call God their Father. However, they're also at peace with the world. And they think that they can serve both, but the Lord Jesus says, we cannot serve God and mammon. All what the Lord Jesus said is the truth. Think not that the Son of Man is come to send peace on the earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. A sword. I will put enmity. And if the Lord converts us, congregation, we will feel that enmity. And there will be a great struggle within our own breast. Oh, there is a people that are asking the Lord to increase that enmity. Why? So that that new man, he may remain all by himself. It is not going to happen until that people are taking their last breath in this world. And then finally, the Lord is going to fix a great gulf for that people. Great gulf to the great gladness of their own heart. All in the head of that church of God, he is going to draw his heel up unto himself. And then that Prince of Darkness, he is not going to be able to bruise that heel of Christ anymore. He is not going to be able to come anymore with all his temptations, with all his evil, with all his sinful temptations. Oh, such is the promise of the Lord to a people who are condemned in themselves. I will put enmity. Is that now, congregation, our only hope? It is a promise that the Lord will do something that we are not able to do. And that is a promise that is certainly going to be fulfilled. He is not a man that he should lie. And he is not the Son of Man that he should repent. But he will finish perfectly what he for that church has undertaken. May that be then for their comfort for a little while further upon their journey here below. Amen. Oh Lord, instruct us all. Oh, thou sayest thou wilt put enmity, Lord. Oh, put that enmity in our hearts, each and every one of us, or against all that is evil, all that is sinful, all that we shall not desire to seek after it. Lord, cleanse us, wash us, forgive us. By the blood of thine only begotten Son, oh, that we may be reconciled to thee, bring us safely to our homes, forgive all that was sinful, Bless thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 362, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou shouldst mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 362. Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.